Hi, this is Adrian, and welcome to the new episode of Do You MQ? Do You MQ is a podcast where we discuss enterprise messaging and interview IBM MQ experts to share their insights and knowledge on the vital role of message queuing in today's world. Today, my guest is Martin Evans, IBM MQ Technical Product Manager, and today we are having a bit of a special episode because we'll be releasing a bit of a sub-podcast or a mini-series on Do You MQ. So basically every quarter we'll meet up and talk about what happened in said quarter and what's coming in the upcoming one. So hello, Martin, and welcome.
Hi, Adrian.
Right, so I think the two biggest things that happened in MQ this quarter was the release of 9.3 and the release of the new appliance. Where should we start then?
Should we start with 9.3?
Yeah, sure. So what can you tell us about 9.3? Just to sum up what happened in the 9.3. Yeah.
So 9.3 is an LTS and a CD release this time around. For those who are not aware, the CD release is the continuous delivery release. So we do that about three of those a year. And they basically give us a mechanism to release new features on a more regular cadence. The LTS release is on a longer cadence, so that's like on a 18-month, 2-year cadence. And what that does is that gives customers, like, I think we have like 5-year support on a minimum 5-year support on an LTS release. So that gives customers more sustainable kind of upgrade. Path, you know, so perhaps, you know, you don't have to worry about doing big upgrades so frequently. Quite popular. But when we do an LTS release, it rolls up all of the CD releases, all the things we release through a CD. So from 9.2.1 all the way through to I can't remember exactly what it was, but all of those 9.2 releases,
a lot of features
CDs, yeah, they all got rolled up into 9.3, and we introduced some additional features on top of that as well. I think that we brought out some new things that weren't in the previous CD release as well.
Yeah. So a bit of a more personal question, but what was your own favorite thing about 9.3?
A couple of things come to mind. I think 9.3 LTS getting the native HA was a big one. People that are in the native HA is our high availability solution, our new high availability solution for containers right now. That was available via CD releases, but obviously if customers were on an LTS release, then they wouldn't have had that yet. So that's now available as an LTS feature. I think we made quite a few improvements to uniform clustering. So there's more support for different patterns within uniform clustering. So where you had some restrictions perhaps around transactions or request reply, we've addressed some of those patterns in uniform clustering. Uniform clustering is fairly new. It's fantastic technology for providing high service availability and scalability, load balancing, automatic load balancing is... It's really good for rebalancing, if you like. So whereas in the past, we've always had that high service availability through clustering and techniques. But the really nice thing about uniform clustering is it gives you that automatic balancing. So if you take a queue manager down for an upgrade, everything will just automatically reconnect. MQ is doing that for you. And then when you bring it back in, you know, it'll just rebalance for you. And I think it's a great, great, great solution. And I think the enhancements we made to that just strengthen that solution even more. So I'd encourage everyone to take a look at uniform clustering.
It would seem that people's favorite is native HA. I think, if I remember correctly, David's favorite was also native HA when we recorded the podcast.
Yeah, native HA, great, great piece of innovation. And I would say that one of the things I really like about native HA is it shows that we're really embracing that container architecture. It's a great, great step forward for that. And it just shows how we're continually innovating and enhancing the product, it's a really good showcase to demonstrate that innovation. Really embracing that whole container ethos, and you know, obviously it works on Kubernetes, so you can run in OpenShift. We've got some Helm charts that will also help you get it up and running in native Kubernetes or other Kubernetes environments. But obviously our own operator, which runs under OpenShift, makes it very easy to deploy that. And that's another nice thing about it. You know, it's almost like a check in the box, you know, just to say native HA, and suddenly I've got this great solution that's going to give me high availability across all my zones in my deployment. And yeah, it's just great. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, that certainly sounds great. I think we could talk about native HA and 9.3 for hours.
Yeah, there were so many changes from 9.2 to 9.3. We have a tile. I think David put a presentation together that's got a tile, and it's just got tens of changes on it. Yeah, there's an awful lot of changes. Couldn't go through all of those today, obviously. But I think that's another thing that just shows how we're continually developing MQ and innovating all the time. Yeah.
Right. The other big thing that happened was the release of the new appliance M2003. What can you tell us about that?
The thing that really stands out for me is the performance. The drives in it, I believe, are now NVMe, really fast. So as always, whenever we release the appliance, there's always an uplift in performance. But I think this is going to be a big one. It will be most noticeable, I think, for customers that are going from the 2001, which I think goes end of life next year, to this 2003. It'll be a huge, huge performance improvement. Yeah, and of course you've got your faster processors as well. So yeah, that's quite exciting. I'm quite looking forward to taking a look at all the performance reports on that.
Do you think those changes will drastically increase the popularity of the appliances, or will they remain on the similar level? I mean, it's upgrade to the previous appliance, obviously, but I was thinking, is it the change is so massive that people will be like, hey, yes, I want to get that. It's so good.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess some customers are looking at the appliance for pure performance reasons. Definitely going to help them. Some may be looking at it for consolidation and that getting that density of queue managers on appliances. It's going to help there. Other customers perhaps like the operational benefits of the appliance, so it doesn't really help so much there. But certainly for those that are looking at pure performance numbers and perhaps consolidating, you know, more queue managers onto a single device, that may help there. Yeah.
What are other interesting things that have happened in the third quarter that might not have been as big as the new MQ release or new appliance?
A couple of things actually that really stand out for me. We've got our new grad intake, and we've set them up with a project to start looking at an Ansible module for MQ. So we have a really good story in containers and OpenShift for automating deployment of MQ in that sort of infrastructure as code or configuration. Declarative, you know, a very declarative approach, you know, configuration code, infrastructure as code, that's what I'm trying to say. and I think that's been lacking a little bit in the more traditional environments, or certainly a standard way of doing it. You had Chef and Puppet and Ansible. Ansible is now becoming more prevalent, I think, almost like the de facto standard, I think, you know, certainly for a lot of customers I see. So I think to have a module and a standard approach to being able to do that infrastructure as code, configuration as code, automation is a really good story. So I'm quite excited about that. I think in the past, every customer's had their own solution. You know, it's like Perl scripts, shell scripts, whatever. You know, there's lots of things out there. I think this approach with that declarative, you know, doing things in YAML, putting those things into your Git repositories or whatever, you connecting those up to your automation, I think that's a really good story. So I think that's quite exciting. So I'm looking forward to see what comes out of that. And it will be open sourced as well. So
yeah, that's great.
Really looking for feedback on that as well. So, you know, if people find it in the GitHub repo, want to post comments or get in touch with me, that would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems just like it will increase a lot of uniformity and, you know, really improve the, I would say, like, quality of life for people, because we don't need to use like 15 different things to just automate things, because you would have like one standard that you can use.
Yeah, and I think that's something that really lacks a little bit in the industry sometimes, that standard approach towards configuration. And as I say, I think some of the technologies, without plugging Ansible too much, you know, they become a little bit of a de facto standard for the tooling. But the approach is still, you know, or the implementations of the way you might configure things like QManage and stuff, still going to vary for some time, I expect. But ultimately, it'd be nice to see some standardization there as well. We have messaging standards, you know, JMS and things like that. Quite nice if you had configuration standards as well. And I think things like this will sort of lay the foundations for that to potentially happen in the future.
Great. Anything other than that?
I've been, I think another thing that's been quite interesting for me has been working with the likes of Amazon and AWS services. Getting a lot of interest there. We've got some quick start guides. We've got a new one coming out. We had a quick start originally, which is still a perfectly valid solution for more traditional sort of VM deployment. We have a new quick start coming out, which will deploy native HA.
Oh, that's great.
So those
constant
customers
push for native HA, I see.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, those people that want to get a look at or play with native HA and containers, great story there. You know, it's going to showcase that nicely, hopefully, and give you a really easy way to get into looking at the benefits of native HA and MQ in containers. And again, showcases that embracing of container technologies.
Yeah, it seems there's like massive push for containers right now, and, you know, being able to deploy it pretty much on every platform, because that's what containers are all about.
Yeah, there's a drive, I think, not just this quarter, obviously it's been going on for a while, but I'm definitely seeing a lot more interest in running MQ in the cloud, whether that's in containers or on VMs. So we're getting a lot more questions around, how do we run MQ on this cloud, or how do we run MQ? What are the disk configurations? What should we be looking for? I wrote a blog recently for running MQ on AWS. That's gained quite a bit of interest. I need to do some updates to that, actually, because more things are coming along. Also been talking to AWS and some of the storage providers to try and get more examples or references of the solutions and, you know, configurations that would be supported or valid. You know, a lot of customers asking for references or reference architectures, so try and improve that. So I've been talking to some of my sort of counterparts in those other companies to try and see what we can do there, improve that story for customers.
Yeah, great. Just to make sure I got it correctly, so the current quick start is more of a traditional approach, and the new quick start will be native HA approach.
Yeah,
and both are perfectly valid, and, you know,
absolutely, work. yeah, absolutely. And I'm hoping to update the current quick start with the latest version of MQ soon. Get that done.
Yeah.
So get that up to 9.3, and also look at options for storage potentially as well. Currently, it uses Amazon's EFS, but there are other storage options. It's FSx Amazon have, which is different providers underneath, which may offer benefits like performance or whatever. We don't know yet, but that's certainly an area I want to look in.
So. Yeah, that's great to hear. And what is your favorite thing that has happened in this quarter?
I think
can be even personal, you know, just.
Yeah, well, on a personal level, I would say joining the MQ team as the technical product manager, for sure. Yeah, it's been quite challenging to. I've been working in MQ for many, many years. Showing my age now a little bit, perhaps, but I think getting on for 20 years now, I've actually been working with MQ. So I go back a long way. And then obviously, I like to think I've picked up a lot of knowledge on MQ, but it's surprising how much you still need to know or learn, how much there is to learn still. And I think one of the challenges with this role is you need a lot of that information right at the forefront of your mind, you know, because you're getting a lot of questions from customers. So it's sort of bringing all that knowledge and all the new stuff into the forefront of your mind and holding it there.
Right. I think it pretty much sums up this quarter, unless you would like to add something. And
No, I think that's more or less it. Just to say, you know, there's been, you know, a lot of work being done in Q3, and there's going to be a lot more to come in Q4. So I'm looking forward to reporting on.
Right. I was about to ask you about the upcoming quarter. Can you give us any sneak peeks, or maybe what are the upcoming events that would be interesting?
I think it's a little bit early to say on some of those things. But what I would say is, if you do want a sneak peek on some of the new features that are coming along, a really good place to find information or get involved in that is the beta program. So our beta program, we use that to showcase new features and solicit feedback from customers as well. So it's a really good opportunity to get a little bit of a sneak preview and also feedback on the new features and things we're looking at, or give us ideas or ask for things. We're obviously continually working to make sure MQ as a product meets the demands of new platforms. So make sure it will integrate with all the big cloud providers and all the new technologies. I think we've got a really good track record of doing that, and we're continuing to look into that area as well, making sure we can continue to do that.
So I guess if our listeners want to learn more about the upcoming features and even have influence on them, you know, be able to drive the change in a sense. Because, I mean, if you're in the beta program, you could give the feedback and may, for example, that something is right and something is not, and it can drive the further change for IBM.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's beneficial both ways, you know, for all of us. It's a really good, really good, really good way to gain education as well, you know, learn about new things. And you know, ultimately it makes everybody more successful, because as we develop these new things, you get to know about them and you get to hear about ways you can use them, which benefits everybody, you know.
Well, that's great. I think we covered the technical stuff all over it, but are there any other interesting things that are going to happen?
Yeah, we've got a user group coming up in November. So that's the IBM Integration User Group UK. That will be on the 8th of November. So if you're interested in attending that, if you just Google the IBM Integration User Group, November 22, that should come up. If not, reach out to myself, or Adrian perhaps, and we'll get you a link to that. That will be held in the new York Road, London offices. So good opportunity to come along and see the new offices as well, which are really nice. So if you haven't been there already, take the opportunity to come along and see us.
Well, I think that pretty much sums up this quarter and gives you the information of what's going to happen. Thank you, Alex Martin, for all this information and for coming on the podcast. And hopefully we'll see each other soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening, and look out for more podcasts on our website on doumq.com.